Before I get started, just pray you'll be patient with me a little bit tonight. It's not a lot of normal lessons that we always share a little bit. I've ordered to put some things on my heart. And those y'all that know me well, I usually don't come with anything written down. I got four pages of stuff written down. So I wouldn't mess it up. I don't speak any words about my I don't have much good stuff. So I'm going to choose to give it. So that being said, Michael printed these out last week, and these are prayer suggestions for the retreat. And we're going to pass these around. I want everybody to take them now. And I mean, men always ask, what do I need to pray for? What do I need to pray for? This will give us clarity and focus on what we need to pray for. I would ask you, if you don't pray for everyone by night, lay them up on the bed. God can read and say, Lord, there they are. There's a request. We're about to enter into battle, man. We're about to enter into battle. We need to understand that. And we need to be rooted and built up in the Word. We need to be ready. Amen? We need to be ready. We need to understand this. Anybody's ever been to one of these streets before knows that the warfare is coming. It's coming. It's coming. So we need to be in the Word. To him much is given, much is expected. God has grown this ministry. I remember just 3 years ago, we were 12, 15 of us meeting at Bell Hall, to what it is now. And it's all by His glory, it's all by His grace, it's all by the blood of Jesus. There's certainly nothing special about any of us, thank God. But I think we need to understand that also, the parable of the talents. One he gave five to, he gave five and returned back. He went out and laid five. One who had two, he made two back. The Lord has blessed us with growth. And we need to understand that there's a lot at stake with us. And we need to understand that. This is going to be the largest crusade we've ever had. That should equal the largest harvest that we've ever had in a crusade. Period. Amen? We got to prepare the ground. We got to prepare the ground. We got to sow the seed. We got to broadcast fertilizer. And God will give us growth. The cards that we passed out, we need to pass those cards out. We need to prayerfully consider. You know, what I do is I put 20 in my pocket a day. And I say, Lord, just leave me. I'm going to handle mine. And you don't have to be any great evangelist. Just go up and say, hey, like Tim said, you know, free steak, Lex Luger's talk. You know? I mean, it's not hard, guys. We've got to prepare the ground. We can't make one pass through with the plow. We've got to bust the ground up. We've got to get it fertile. We've got to get good ground. You know, in the parable of the sower. You know, some fell on footpaths, some fell among the thorns, but what fell on good ground gave growth and yielded the crop. We need to prepare the ground. We've got to sow the seed. We've got to hand the cards out. Praise God, I hope we have 100 churches there. But this is specifically, and we're all going to be blessed. We're all going to grow spiritually. But this is specifically set up to lead people to know Jesus Christ. For the lost. This is it. For the people who do not yet have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That is what this is for. We must do our part. And yes, Jesus will leave the 99 to go after the one. We all know that. Amen. I'm praying for a lot of them. Amen. I'm praying for a lot of them. You plant 1 acre, you expect 1 acre return. You plant 500 acres, you expect a little bit bigger return. Amen. It's a law of the kingdom. Reap what you sow with it. Amen. We're pouring a lot into this. Amen. We need to be prayerful about what God would have us to do. We must keep the weeds and the insects out. Now this is where it starts hitting close to home, guys. It starts with us. Amen? Amen. God is calling us to a life of purity, to be set apart, to be holy, and it starts here. We need to press into God. We've got to be in God's Word. We've got to. It's imperative. Amen? We've got to be seen. Lazy and complacent farmers aren't good farmers. It's just that simple. You ever seen a farmer who didn't take care of the ground, take care of the crops, let the weeds come and chuck the plants out, that it was successful? It just doesn't happen that way. We need to keep all these things in mind. How do we do this? First, we need to know who we're back. Who we're back. It's like, and the battle begins with each of us individually. You know, self-examination, guys. It's time. You know, I always encourage everybody, we need to, every 3 months, we need to spiritually step back and look at our lives and say, am I moving closer to Jesus Christ? Am I moving farther away? Am I beginning to operate the giftings of the Holy Spirit that He's poured into me? Or am I drifting further from the cross? We've got to examine our lives. And right now is the time, we better be pressing in. We better. Amen? We've got to be pressing in. The battle begins with each of us individually. We've got to know the enemy. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We all know these things. He comes to steal the word from us, to destroy the works that God has for us, and to kill everything God wants to prosper in our life. However, he is a short-term scourge. Amen? We know this from Scripture. He can't withstand it all out of salt of the word. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to God. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape that you'll be able to endure. There it is, man. There's always a way of escape. We need to start looking for the way of escape if we give into sin. It's time we have gotten, God's put this on my heart. I might say it 100 times, man. You get tired of it, I'm sorry. God has put on my heart. Purify yourselves, consecrate yourselves. I call you to be separate. You're a chosen people. Be holy and separate. Press into me and receive what I have for you. Amen? We battle the unseen. This group, we love watching that movie with the gladiator. You know? And we love talking about King David and the giant. But being truthful, that's easy for us. For me. We got the hero factor in us. I like fighting anyway. I wouldn't even file stones with a pair of brass knuckles. I'm going to act. You know what I'm saying? I know Dennis would. So we need to understand that we're vital to unseen. We see David go and kill the giant, but we see when Satan comes at him with spiritual warfare, with Bathsheba on the rooftop and nobody's around, he should have had his tail off doing battle, leading his men. He was at home by himself. And what happened? Nobody's around. Nobody was seen. What's happening in your house when nobody's around, nobody's sick? What's happening? We need to know that God's ever present. Amen. He sees all things. He sees in secret. We need to understand this. And we need to press into God. As I came back in, Saul slayed his 1,000, David his 10,000. I know I'd love to hear that. You know, that would be great. But we need to understand that battling the flesh is not what we do. The battling the spirit for me. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, but have divine power that destroys strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, raising us the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when you're obedient. For though we walk in flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. We have divine power. We have godly power to destroy strongholds. We need to understand. We need to understand this thing that we be coming against us for truth. If he is coming against all of us, giving us 5 reasons why we can't go, what's he doing to our brothers who don't know Jesus yet? Amen? We need to understand it. We need to understand it. Take every thought captive. Every thought captive. God desires holiness because He is holy. God, praise God for His grace. We need it every day. Amen. We stumble every day. No, we stumble. It's just the way we go. But the desire of our heart should be present in God. It's got to be the desire of our heart. Nothing else is accepted. And He's doing the work now. He's purging the church. Yeah, I mean, Finch Stradler, He wants us on one side or the other. Jesus Christ said, either be hot or cold. You look warm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. We need to understand this. There's no gray area in the Word of God. There's no fence trap. We need to understand this. This needs to abide in our heart. This needs to speak in our spirit. And we need to press into God. Tim Paschke talked a couple weeks ago with St. Mark in our men's group about spiritual arm. Man, it was one of the best teachings I've heard in a long time. It was really good, really anointing message about putting on the whole armor of God to teach and see. People like me, I said this at the end. That's a lot of armor to be remembered, you know? I like Romans 13:14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make up provision for the flesh and gratify us about it. And we need to understand that all that honor is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the creator, he's the redeemer, he's the resurrection, he's the life, he's the judge, he's the executioner. He's all that. He's all that. And he is all sufficient. His grace is sufficient. No provision for the flesh. That means we don't give our flesh leeway. We've got to understand, and this doesn't just affect us, man. This doesn't just affect us. You know as well as I do. The next day, when the Lord tells you, you need to hand that card out to that guy right there. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to do that. We got that pornography last month. It affects everybody. It affects our living. Amen. Galatians 2:20. I know it's your favorite word from my book. Recite that for us.
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet Christ lives in me. And the life that I do now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me.
Mm-hmm. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I do live, Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Are we living that life? Are we living that life? Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to crucify?
Well, I
mean, crucified with
him. I guess it, to me it means Michael Miller does it. He's no longer alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have a say so in the matter. When I'm tempted to sin, I can't. It's not me that I'm looking for anymore in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. We really need to get some revelation there. The flesh has got to die. Paul said it. I choose to die with the flesh daily. It's got to. We battle with the word, with prayer, and with crucifying the flesh. I didn't know this was coming on. I'm going to pick on the man. Let me ask you something, Dennis. If me and you decided to go out and we were going to go on patrol and we told somebody to go out and set up an ambush and pick the best ground, would we be very successful? They could be, you know, just nobody. Never even trained or nothing. You think our success rate would still be very good? Would. We can't let the enemy in our house and set up a defensive position and think we're going to battle. Amen? You can't let the enemy in our house to set up a defensive position and think we're going to win the battle. That is plumb ignorant. Amen? And we've all done it. We've all done it. But we need to understand. We need to understand. You can't be clicking on the website. You can't be masturbating that picture and then say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. It don't work that way. You invited him in, he ain't going nowhere. We need to understand that. We invite him in to set up a defensive position. We can't do it. And I know this may sound harsh, God, and I pray for your forgiveness. And I'm not, the Lord put this on my heart. To him, much as give, as much as expect. It's kind of pressing to God. It's kind of quick. We ain't tiptoeing through the tulips no more. Amen. We talk about being a warrior. It's time to nut up real warrior. Amen. I mean, this is it. This is it. We can't talk about being a warrior while we're walking around dragging our rusty, crusty sword that ain't been shined or polished on or sharpened in 3 months because we ain't been in the Word into this retreat. We cannot do it. There's too much at stake. There have been lives at stake. There are men's lives at stake. I refuse to stand before Jesus Christ one day and see a guy burning in hell and he said, that was him right there. You were the one man that could affect change in his life. But you didn't do it. You're too caught up in yourself. And we got to die in ourselves. We got to let the Spirit of God do what it is with him. Repent. The kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist, prelude to Jesus Christ. The voice in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand, man. God is raising up modern day John the Baptist right now. And they're beginning to proclaim, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The second coming of Jesus Christ is at hand. And we need to know and understand that. The time is short, guys. We've got to have a sense of urgency. got to have a sense of urgency. We can't put off till tomorrow what we can do today. We can't say next year. Next year I'm really going to start walking with the Lord. We can't do it, God. And this message is just as much for me. I stand up here and I'm bouncing this off the wall straight into my heart right now. I tell you straight up. Abide in the mind. Jesus Christ said, abide in the mind. We're talking even do nothing. Abide in the mind. Abide in the mind. We try to make it so hard. We try to make this Christianity thing so hard that it's so easy. Abide in the mind. Abide in the mind. We've got to be rooted in Jesus Christ. It's really that simple. This is a season of purification, God. I know I keep going over the same stuff, but just saying like God put it on my heart. Dusty Bibles lead to dirty life. Dusty Bibles lead to dirty life. It's time to take that bad boy down off of the fireplace or not the dust on it. We really need to be in the Word. We've got to be rooted and built up. We've got to. You see, because we got to understand this fundamental truth. In Acts 1:8, Jesus Christ said, but you'll see power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and be my witnesses. What does a witness do? Amen. According to Judge Dale Brown, a witness tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know what I'm saying? This Bible's true. If we don't know the Word, we can't speak truth. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The truth. So how do we crucify the flesh? This is when y'all really want to get aggravated with it. We start with fast. Tim talked to me about 2 months ago. He said, if Peter really believes in fasting, and those of y'all who know me and folks with me know that I really believe in it too. It's an integral part of my walk with Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to go through some stuff real quick here. I was listening to a radio show one day, and how it all began in my life. I was listening to a radio show, and I heard a woman on there. She said she'd been praying for this family member for 30 years, and they finally come to know the Lord. Praise God. I said, Lord, there are a lot of folks I know I got 30 years. How do I speed your process up? He said, it's pretty easy. He said, commit more than 20 seconds a day. You really want to see him change? Cry out to me for him. Weep. Cry out for them. Pray for them. Really pray for them. Don't just mention their name in prayer. Fast for them. I dare you. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. See if you will not operate under an open heaven. Hannah's fast. She fasted. She had a barren womb. She did not receive a child. She didn't have a child. Samuel was born unto her. Ezra fasted. Called the whole nation of Israel fast for protection and provision. Moses fasted in receiving of the Ten Commandments. 40 days. Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah rebuilt the wall in Jerusalem. Amen. And we all know about that. But you know how it began? In 1:4, he called the whole nation to weeping and fasting and prayer. And not only was it rebuilt, but Artaxerxes provided all the resources to rebuild it. Amen. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Esther, the whole Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, is going to be wiped out. Mordecai called for a fast. Everybody fasted, prayer, repented. Esther was given favor with the king. The nation was spared. David reported his fasting in the 35th Psalm and the 109th Psalm. Isaiah devotes a whole chapter to true and false fasting and talks about fasting a lot. Jeremiah reports Israel fasting. Daniel is reported as fasting. Jonah, when he preached the word to the Ninevites, they repented, prayed, fasted, and the Lord, who was going to destroy the whole city, withdrew. Paul, when he was struck blind, fasted, did not eat 3 days, received the Holy Spirit. Paul's also reported his fasting 14 days in the New Testament. Peter reported his fasting. Cornelius, Paul and Barnabas, the whole assembly was fasting, and what resulted out of that was the first mission trip. Always, anytime that I would ever talk to anybody about it, I would always have somebody say, God desires obedience, not sacrifice. need to understand King David, when he said, God, this is what God desires, a broken, contrite spirit. That's what fasting means. You're broken before the Lord. You're saying, I'm at the end of myself. I cannot do this. This is what I desire. I'm going to seek you. But what I've never said to anybody else is, fasting is obedience. Amen? Fasting is obedience. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches on, after the Sermon on the Mount, after the Beatitudes, he teaches on three things: giving, praying, fasting. He says, when you pray, pray like this. When you give like this. And when you fast, this is how you fast. Not if, when. When. It should be a part of our, lives. It is obedience. The disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees, they came and said, we fast, and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not. And Jesus said, can the children mourn while the bridegroom is with them? When the bridegroom is taken away with them, then they will fast. We fast in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We fast for a greater intimacy of Jesus Christ. We fast for greater revelation of Jesus Christ. We fast for a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can only fill us with the measure we've been emptied of. Our flesh has got to die. We've got to be empty to receive the Holy Spirit in greater measure. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuing thing. Amen? Matthew 17, after the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus Christ comes down the mountain. The disciples are down there, and they're trying to cast a demon out. King James Version calls the guy lunatic. They couldn't cast it out. Didn't cast it out. Jesus Christ cast it out. Afterwards they asked, why could we not cast him out? He said, truly I tell you, some only come out by prayer and fasting. Some only come out by prayer and fasting. There's some of us in here dealing with addictions. We didn't fast and pray. Amen. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. It's not rocket science. We just need to get in there and look at it. You know? I mean, I assure you, if I can. If I can understand it, anybody can. Not the brightest bulb. This is my biggest thing. It gets my focus off of me, my favorite person, on Jesus Christ. Because I've struggled with that. I've struggled this week. Those who are closest to me know how bad I've struggled this week. Because I've been wearing them out, which is very uncommon. Lord, give me a word. This week hasn't been that way. It's because there's some stuff that had to be purged out of me. It's time to think of yourself lives. Are you worried about my will and good? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Are we worried about God's will or our will? Are we going to take offense at what He does to us? Are we going to take offense at the time that it takes for Him to do something? Are we going to understand that He is sovereign? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His timing is perfect. Fasting includes not only doing without food, but as well as denying one's own strength and ability, looking exclusively to the cross of Jesus Christ. For apart from Him, we can do nothing. Okay? It is just that dependence. We grow up in this world and they say, man, I want independent children. I want this. I want that. And we're taught to be independent. But then the Word says, you know, you're to be dependent. Totally dependent on me. I give you breath. I give you heartbeat. I give you the gifts. I give you the calling. I give you all. This is not for show, but for God. Amen. We don't. It's not going to be like the hypocrites and walk around all, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fasting. The Lord's demanding it of me. No, we ain't going to do that. Amen. We fast for the joy of the Lord. We fast for the joy of the Lord. I'll tell you what. Yes, if one's saved, praise God. I'm praying to put 100 at the bottom of that lake Saturday morning. Amen. Amen? I ain't scared to pray bold prayer. We all need to get a hold of that and understand that. Amen. Him, much is given, much is expected. We need to be hungry not for the world, but for the bread of life. One of my favorite lines in the Bible, Matthew 5:6, is the attitude that says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's what we need to hunger for. We need to be hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness to fill us, His holiness to fill us, to press into Him, for our intimacy to grow with Jesus Christ. I mean, that's where we find our fulfillment. That's where we find our joy. God's word says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. And Hebrews says, He's a reward of those who diligently seek Him. Everybody quotes Jeremiah 29:11 all the time, but 29:13 is one of my favorite lines in the Bible. This says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Not just seek me and find me. Seek and find me and seek me with all your heart. All your heart. Everything that you are, all your being. When you pour everything that you are into seeking, you quit faking the phone. Start seeking. You start seeking. You know, I guess I'm just so ignorant, but as I was writing this down, the Lord spoke to me. And He said, you got a model of the warfare. I said, what are you talking about? Look at Jesus Christ. Matthew 4. He's taken in the wilderness, the desert, depending on your translation, to be tempted by Satan. What did he battle Satan with? He was in prayer, he fasted 40 days, and when Satan came to him, what did he battle him with? The Word of God. That's as cut and dry of a game plan. You don't go into battle, do you, Dennis, without having a game plan, do you? You ain't going to be very successful. We need to understand that. It's laid out right there in the Word. That's what Jesus Christ did. How do we think that we can do any less? Amen. The Lord put on my heart to call for a season of fasting. Starting April 10th. A Daniel fast. Daniel fasted in chapter 10. He fasted and abstained from meat, from bread, from sweets. He fasted from fruits, vegetables, water, juice. On the 21st day, he received the revelation of the Lord. There are men that are going to be down there that need to receive the revelation of the Lord. Every man sitting in this circle, we need to receive a greater revelation of the Lord. Amen? I'm not so much concerned about how good we teach or preach. We need a revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to grow in greater intimacy with Him. Now, understand this, man. I'm not putting this on anybody. I'm just being obedient to what the Lord told me to say. Okay? I'm not putting condemnation on nobody. I'm saying you've got to do this. You don't have to do this. We need to understand this, guys. The main point here is to turn our heart toward God. There might be people with medical conditions that can't fast. Amen? The main point here is that our hearts are turned toward Jesus Christ. That is the main point. You may be blessed and not be a bull-headed fool like me. You don't have to fast to really hear God. That's why I do it so regularly. Sometimes that's the only way I can hear His voice. I'm too busy running my own. There are different fasts. There's one day fast. God may not want you to pray about it. God may put on your heart to do a one-day fast for 3 weeks. There's partial fasts. Sun up, sun down, 6 a.m., 6 p.m. The Lord might put on your heart to do that 2 days a week. I'm not keeping anything on you and saying you've got to do this and you've got to do that. I just want you to pray about what the Lord will have you do. But we need to be bold in our prayer. And we need to know what we're struggling with. We need to say, Lord, cleanse me now. Because as much as this is about being a blessing of people come to know Jesus Christ, every time I've ever gone on one of these, I've pressed up to God. And I've been blessed by it. So we need to come with a servant's heart. But we need to come in a humble spirit. But we need to come seeking Jesus. Amen. There's 3 day fast if you want to do that. Now, the Lord's never going to give somebody, not going to send a messenger if you don't know what He's talking about. I do it regularly. I've done 2 days in the last 2 years. I'm about to testify to you, man. I'm about to tell you about it. My deliverance from drugs and alcohol prayer was on fast my prayer. And on a 21-day fast last year, I lifted up my brother. And he rededicated his life to the church. Say the drug us through the mud with finances. I pray, God bless us, please. I ain't asking for a handout. I just need more work. Remember not your home before the year was up. Praise God. Pray for spiritual growth. Though it's been painful, it's good. It's good. Always waiting for hope. And and tried for 5 years to have a baby, and you're pregnant now. And you should say, well, God is going to do it anyway, but I'm telling you right now what I did and what He did. Amen. This year, one day fast, the Lord gave me the grace to not eat nothing the first 10 days, and then y'all know me not like to eat. And I didn't really understand it. And I was, it was power. So I walked around again for a moment. I didn't hear nothing but the voice of the Lord. It's incredible. One of the things I fasted for, maybe be purged myself. Me and Tim were going to talk to the ministry last year. We came to this that we needed to have both have about a 3-day dry heave of ourselves so that the Lord could fill us with work. I got a list right here. This is my list this year. I wrote down before I fasted. You see, these are my family, and that's asking people to be saved or set on fire. You see that first name with the star by it? What is that?
Thank you.
Thank you. My dad called me 2 weeks ago. He said, Mom went to the doctor today from America. He said, she got 4 lumps in her breast, but she don't want any of them to know. I can tell. It was bothering him. I said, well, how are you doing? And he started breaking down. Anybody that knows my dad, he don't cry. So really, it broke my heart. So I said, I'm going to grab my anointing, hold my word, and I'm going to get back. I love her to death. She's had a lot of back surgery. She battled with serious pain. As I went in there, I don't know that I've ever been in a bold or in somebody's face in my life and preaching the gospel. And she kept resisting and resisting. Finally, I saw a single tear roll down her cheek, and she broke. The Lord got a hold of her. We both fell on our knees, and she just cried and sobbed my ear over the ground. It was great. And she prayed a prayer for things right there. And she stood up and the Lord said, give me some water and baptize. So who am I, Lord? He said, you go get some water and baptize. Oh, I got some. I baptized my mom. That ain't all. God don't plug. I told her, I said, I'm about to anoint you with oil. I'm about to cast that cancer straight out of you in the name of Jesus. So you get ready. She was got on her knees and she bent down and I put my hands on her, and I've never been that bold in prayer in my life. And she started squirming. She said, your hands are killing me on fire. Set me on fire. You're setting me on fire. Let go. And I wasn't letting go. I shut the light down. John said, one's coming after me, I'm baptized in the fire and the ghost. You know what he said? Because I'm baptized in the fire got down in there. She got in a church on Sunday morning, wasn't Sunday school class. Went to church that day. Monday, said, my breath's bothering me all day. It hurt. She went back Tuesday to get her second mammogram done, and they were going to do the biopsy. But they're putting on the biopsy. She's all at home. Now you can say that God was going to do that anyway. And I got a whole pile of stuff here. I'll show it to you. I guarantee you, for the end of the year, the end time, it's going to come to pass. We serve all the mighty and awesome God. You know, this ain't no museum. You know, we don't just want to come up here and see what they used to do. Jesus Christ said, greater things than these shall you do in my name. Why do we do it? That's all we do. It's more than a textbook. This is not a textbook. This is the living word of God. Amen. God is good. You may say he was going to do it anyway. I'm just telling you what I'm asking for. I'm telling you what I'm asking. Just a little bit. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for this group. And the very specific reason that he does is because none of us are up here to call ourselves. Nobody can claim this as their own. No church can claim it as their own. It is God's. It is Jesus Christ. It's his and his alone. It's his church. We need to quit pimping ourselves out. We need to quit committing adultery with the bride of Christ. We need to quit trying to claim what he's done as our work of our time. He's going to continue to bless it. But we got to understand, he's going to require more of it. But praise God, isn't that good? So just think what type of testimony we're going to have next. Amen. Pray for God.
I feel moved that we need to fight. Now, as you've heard what God did for Bill as he fasted, I got kind of gets my job in this deal is to ask why wouldn't you? Who in your house? Who hadn't even written down on a card yet? But who do you want to fast for in your house? Starting with yourself. How many of y'all are willing to commit to fast? Now don't raise your hand because everybody's looking at you. Because it's you and Jesus. But you're saying yes to him, not to me. How many of y'all are willing to fast? And whatever means that you heard Bill talk about, would it be a Daniel fast, a one-day fast, a three-day fast? You know, there's been fast going on through UCC already for this crusade coming up. And I sent something out about it a while back. I know Greg and Andy, I've been fasting down. How long did I be right now? But it made me kind of keep going. Instead of dying with some blood. What do you want him to do in your life? This ain't just, Bill ain't got the red phone from the White House talking to God. This is pouring out. He poured it out for all. What do you want him to do? What do you want him to do right now? Right here. Circle those chairs up. What do you want him to do right now? Get up to eight chairs. Come on, right here. I ain't talking about life.